so slow. These things take time.
Hey, the Shilling Show continues. It is a Tuesday edition of the program. David Murata is the president of Murata Wealth Management. Retirement plans and employers' fiduciary duty. We're going to get into this right now, and you need to pay attention because this is your retirement. This is your future. Hey, David, welcome back to The Shilling Show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so let's first of all understand what these plans are. Some people may never really have gotten a good grasp on them.
Yeah, so retirement plans are anything from a 401k to a 403b to a 457. There's all different kinds of numbers depending upon the organization that's sponsoring them. And in these plans, the employer provides a mechanism to deduct money from your paycheck, sometimes pre-tax, sometimes post-tax, and put that away for your retirement. And often the employer will even match. So if you have 5% withheld, they'll match it with 4%. So you get almost an 80% immediate return on your money. So they can be great deals for employees, and they can also be great deals for employers. If you're a small business owner and you're making money, if you save that money in a taxable account, over 30 years, the interest, dividends, and capital gains, as it gets taxed, could eat up maybe half of its value. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you can save that money into a Roth Roth 401k, a Roth retirement plan, you'd have twice as much money. So for employers, it's a great deal. And for employees, it's the same great deal. If you're trying to save money, you can save it where the growth is not taxed, and that tax over that capital gains tax and income and dividend tax over 30 years can eat half its value.
So how did these come to be? I've never been a part of any plan like this because I've never really been employed full time in a position where I could take advantage of something like that. So I don't really understand it at all. Are there entities that go out and promote these plans to employers? Do they hire someone in-house to just come up with something?
Yeah, the way we first got into this is one of our small business owners said, hey, I've got three proposals for a 401k. Can you look them over? And we looked them over and thought they were all terrible. Mm-hmm. Because 401ks and retirement plans can be laden with fees. And in fact, that's one of the things that the federal government is trying to crack down on more. And now that the Supreme Court about two years ago, upheld a case where employees could sue their employer for not having a good retirement plan. And the reason for that is because the employer has a fiduciary responsibility to craft the plan in the best interest of the participants. And quite often they don't do that. They delegate that to some vendor who doesn't have the obligation, and then they laden it with fees. At any rate, it's not hard to start. There's a little bit of startup costs. They're very small. We've worked it out, and for small business owners, within a couple of years, you've recouped the costs just in your own savings alone, regardless of the fact of whether you have employees or not. And in 30 years, you've made a tremendous amount of money because you're able to save it pre-tax. But yes, there are vendors that will help you through each step of the way. We've gotten into that business as well, helping small businesses. And there's different kinds of consultants. There's a consultant which accepts fiduciary responsibility. It's called a 338 fiduciary, is one that accepts the fiduciary responsibility for a plan. We do that, so we accept the responsibility to act in the best interest of participants. Little under half of the plans have a 338 fiduciary. If mm-hmm. your plan's been around for a few years, it probably doesn't. If it's a newer plan, it might, because it's a growing concern on employers now, is to have someone else who's on the hook for the fiduciary duty so that they're the ones who can help you avoid the lawsuits that have come about from some of the employers or employees suing plans that aren't that great.
So as we talk about this concept of fiduciary duty, again, that probably confuses some people. They may have heard it before, but they don't really understand what that means. So what does it mean that the employer has fiduciary duty to the employee in this?
Yes.
Instance?
So the employer has a fiduciary duty to run the plan in the best interest of the participants. It means they have to do the right things. So if there's a choice between funds and there's lower cost funds that are just as good, they need to use the lower cost funds. They need to not self-deal, so they need to not deal with their own to their own benefit. So they need to basically manage the plan as though they were managing other people's money, because they are managing other people's money, the participants. And that fiduciary process requires that every few years, at least, maybe even more frequently, they review the plan to see if it's still in the best interest of the employees, and to see if there's a better way that they could do it. So they have to review the funds that are in the plan. They have to review the way in which those funds can be put together into a portfolio. They have to review the fees. They have to review the fee structure, and they have to do all of that on a regular basis. With our plans, we're reviewing the funds on a quarterly basis, and we're reviewing the fees for other things on an annual basis, just to try to make sure that we can't find a better deal for anyone. And the 401ks that we run our own 401k the exact same way. And since I have a lot of money in that one, mm-hmm. I have a vested interest in making sure that we keep the best possible 401k plan that we could possibly have.
We're talking with David Murata, president of Murata Wealth Management. We're talking about retirement plans and the employer's fiduciary duty to make sure these plans are worthy plans. You know, listening to you right now, it almost seems fraught with peril for somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing or doesn't have expertise in this area to even do anything. First of all, I ask you, are employers required to offer these sorts of things? And if not, I guess they're doing it to be competitive, but who would want to handle this on your own? You sound like you're getting a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and you know, I can hear some of the small business owners out there right now is like, fiduciary responsibility. I'm going to stay 10 feet away from that. I'm never going to have a retirement plan.
Right.
And it turns out that for small business owners, having a retirement plan is a great benefit to them. Most small business owners are making a profit, and that profit they're quite often putting into a taxable account. And if they're loading up that taxable account even with a few hundred thousand dollars, it's probably worth hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for them to put that into a tax-sheltered entity like a 401k. In addition to the $18,500 that you can shelter every year, you can shelter almost up to $50,000 or $60,000 if you structure it right as the business owner, such that you're putting your own money and your own profits away. Well, just imagine if you can shelter $50,000 a year into taxes, the difference between putting that $50,000 a year into a taxable account versus into a Roth account, you pay the tax on it either way, but in the Roth account, it will grow to twice as much money, and that money will double every, 7 to 10 years. And so you can just imagine it doubling again in 30 years and the tremendous difference it will make between having a Roth and not having a Roth. So there's a tremendous benefit. But you're right, to try to run the plan by yourself without any help is difficult because the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, called ERISA, is what governs how you run the plan. And knowing the ERISA law is important to be able to satisfy that you're doing things in the best interest of your employees. And sometimes the lawsuits have been as ridiculous as, well, there's a lower cost Vanguard fund and you could have gotten into that rather than the higher cost Vanguard fund. So why didn't you do that? Well, you have to know all of that to be able to do it. And that's where we step in, because we have then a legal obligation to make sure that all those guidelines are being met. And it's really just a matter of process. You go through the process of making sure that there's not better things that you could be doing for your employees on a regular basis. And there's some quantities of scale. In other words, we're running a number of 401k plans, and therefore we can do it a little bit more easily. But if you don't do that, you should definitely get a 338 fiduciary. I mean, if you don't work with us, you should get someone else who will help you through that process. And your vendor is not the right person to do that because they have a vested interest in loading it up with high fees that they'll get paid for.
We're talking with David Murata. He's online at murataonmoney.com, retirement plans and employers' fiduciary duty. Are you doing the right thing as an employer and as an employee? We'll get to this on the other side as the Shilling Show continues with David Murata. 977-1070 is the phone number. If you have comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you.
So come home to me.
Hey, the Shilling Show continues, a Tuesday edition. Coming up at the top of the hour, open phones. And then Catherine Price, the new book is How to Break Up with Your Phone. Continuing with David Murata. And so we're talking about these retirement plans. And I guess the first thing I wanted to ask you, something I've always wondered about this, is there insurance on these plans? In other words, can someone invest in them without fear? I mean, we know the markets could go south, but of some company just closing the doors and all the money disappearing, how do people protect themselves from that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I looked into that for a number of clients. So the first thing is that all of the funds and the is held at a separate company. So there is a custodian who actually holds all of the funds. And on top of that, there's a record keeper that keeps track of how many shares each person has in the fund. So the plan sponsor, one of the requirements of being a plan sponsor is to find an appropriate and safe custodian. We use Mid-Atlantic Capital. We use Charles Schwab for most of our stuff, but for Mid-Atlantic Capital, they actually provide some better 401k and 403b retirement plan services. Mid-Atlantic Capital is well insured and well regulated, if you will. And one of the things is if you use a company like that, there's a number of things from ERISA that is satisfied by using a company which is a trust, a capital trust company, because they have certain reporting regulations and review compliance regulations that they abide by. So in addition to that, once the plan gets over a certain amount, you get a bond for it, and the bond covers all of the losses as well. I forget what that amount is. It's $100,000 or $200,000, something like that. Then mm-hmm. It has to be bonded as well. They are very safe, and the way we run them is very safe, I think, because of the custodians and the multiple layers there. And then it's pretty easy to set up and get started. People are sometimes surprised by that. The process takes a few weeks. We end up making recommendations for a lot of our clients who have 401ks all around the country in different plans and in different custodians and different choices. And that's really where we got into. Some plans are just well designed and some plans are not well designed. And usually if you haven't looked at your plan in 3 to 5 years, you probably don't have a great plan because it's probably an older plan with higher fees.
So for people who are on the receiving end of this, in other words, employees, and they have a choice to make, it almost seems very daunting. I mean, it's one thing for the employer to say, I'm going to hire professional help to help us to have good offerings. But for people on the receiving end of that, what are the sorts of questions they need to be asking of themselves in order to make good choices?
Yeah, there is a disclosure form that each retirement plan is required to make available to employees, and that disclosure form has all of the fees. We can use that for our clients. We can use that to actually build the lowest cost asset allocation within the funds that are available. And so that's what we do. We take all of the funds that are in the plan. We look at all the different fees. We run them through the Center for Fiduciary Studies ETF or mutual fund analysis program, and then we build a portfolio of as low expenses as we can. Sometimes even in a bad plan, you can have low expense funds. And we give a ton of information away at Maradon Money. We make plenty of money, and that allows us to give a lot away for free.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone in the Charlottesville area who's listening wants us to analyze their 401k or 403b, as a participant, all you have to do, we'll give you the language, all you have to do is request that information from your employer and a list of all the funds and their expenses. And then we can do the analysis and say, hey, for this particular employer in town, these are the funds that we would recommend you build into an asset allocation. And as an employer, if you want your fund reviewed, we do that for free as well,
mm-hmm.
Partly because we think we've got one of the best retirement plans in the country. And also because we know that there's a lot of really bad retirement plans out there. But what we do is we simply lay out, here are the funds, here's the expenses you're paying for custodialship, record keeping, and the funds. Here's what your total costs are as a percentage of the assets that you have invested. And then here's an alternative that would be really easy to do that would probably be less expensive. The other thing is the fund choices have to be good, so we try to make sure that there are the appropriate kinds of funds to be able to build portfolios. Is there a small-cap value fund? Is there a mid-cap value fund? Is there an emerging markets fund, et cetera? Is there an energy fund? Is there a real estate fund? Because building a portfolio that's along the efficient frontier will probably boost returns maybe by about 1.5% over just having some generic fund or a retirement date fund.
David Marotta, just a couple minutes left. I wanted to ask you, because we've had this conversation before, that in your industry, oftentimes there are burdensome regulations that are not necessary and actually counterproductive. In this area, and you've obviously become involved in this, Is there overregulation, underregulation, or is it just right?
That's a great question. The ERISA guidelines, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, is one of the legislations that tries to define what it means to be a fiduciary. So the Center for Fiduciary Study has taken all of the different legislation associated with what it means to be a fiduciary, and they've broken out all the fiduciary principles. And being a fiduciary is more about process than it is about outcome. So if you have a process by which you're reviewing the funds every quarter or every year, that's the correct process. If the funds go down because of market conditions, that's fine, so long as you are reviewing and monitoring them to make sure that the reason why you selected them are good, even if the outcome was not good. So a lot of being a fiduciary is about the fiduciary process. And so I'll have to say I've come to appreciate all of the different legislation that defines what it means to be a fiduciary, because I think that's actually good legislation. You, in the law, you could simply say, if you're managing someone else's money, you have an obligation to act as a fiduciary. That's all you have to say in the law. These laws are trying to outline what it means to be a fiduciary with a set of rules, and any set of rules is going to get some stuff wrong. So there are things you have to keep track of as part of ERISA that are probably not as helpful as they could be. They're just burdensome laws that you need to abide by. Okay, abide by them because that's the law. But then there's other things that are getting at the heart of the matter. And unfortunately, the heart of the matter sometimes doesn't go deep enough. So sometimes you can abide by all of the laws and still not have a heart of a fiduciary where you're trying to do what's in the best interest of the participants. So for somebody who is a fiduciary and is trying to have a fiduciary's heart, some of the laws seem like they don't go far enough, and some of the laws seem like they go too far. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, because being a fiduciary is not a set of rules. There's really no such thing as fiduciary rules. The fiduciary principle is to do what's in the best interest of the client, regardless of what the rules are.
David Murata is online at muratahonmoney.com. And if somebody wants to pursue your generous offer earlier of taking a look at these things, either for individuals or on the small business, they have contact information there online?
Yes. Just give our office a call and say, hey, I'm a participant or I'm a plan sponsor, and I'd like your help to review my choices.
Fantastic. David Murata, great subject. Thank you so much, as always, for being with us on The Shilling Show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Open phones on the other side, 434. 434-